just so damn busy.
I am not.
Maybe we should start, you know, recording us as, like, real people.
Like on a video? Uh-huh. Recording us as real people. Guys, I hate to tell you, but this has been AI the whole time. We were never real. All right. You ready to start? Podcast for me and my mom talk about TV.
And mom.
Hi, mom. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. And how are you today, Rachel?
You know what I would like to talk about on record?
What? On record?
I'm making you nervous by saying that.
O-R?
What? Stanley Water Cups.
You didn't even tell me how you felt yet.
Oh, I feel great. Ask me how I was doing.
I just did.
All right.
Okay.
That definitely didn't happen. If we were to play back right now, we would discover that I said, welcome to the podcast, TV with my mom. Podcast for me and my mom talk about TV. And then I said, hi, mom, as you said, and mom. And then we laughed. And no, there was no.
And then you said, how are you doing? I said, great. And then I said, how are you, Rachel?
Okay, I didn't hear you.
Please, viewers. Help me out.
I'm sure you did, and I just wasn't paying attention.
No cutting it out of the recording.
I don't cheat. Okay. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I admit it.
That's correct. Me too.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
You're
usually wrong.
That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, you usually don't admit it.
Whatever. Okay, fine.
I'm doing fine.
Thank you. I'm glad to know that.
Did you answer me when I asked how you were doing?
Yes. Jesus Christ. Are you on crack today? You do some weed when you woke up?
Do some weed.
You know, whatever. CBD, pill.
Did you do some weed?
I don't know. Okay. You know what I want to talk about?
What?
Stanley Cups.
Oh. Well, me too. So mom bought me one for Christmas, which was very nice. Can I just say, like, I'm aware that we're behind the trend.
We are.
Like, I realized that they were popular and that they're, like, losing popularity, but I wanted a water bottle that would fit in my cup holder in my car that would fit 30 ounces of water.
Right. So it's easier to keep track of your water and blah, 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 blah.
I'm trying to drink a ton of water a day.
Right. So I bought her one for Christmas, and then I shortly thereafter.
And I've been enjoying it so much.
Yes. And I shortly thereafter bought one that was, like, 40 ounces, and I've been enjoying it myself.
And then the news has been all over TikTok and Instagram.
We're all going to die of lead poisoning.
Today Show did an article about it. Bon Appetit magazine has done an article about it. There is a lead thing in the base of Stanley Cups.
Like a lead little, ball.
A little lead disc or ball or whatever.
Ball of death.
That there is needed for some reason in like the vacuum sealing process of the cup.
Right.
And so like... You're seeing this stuff on Instagram where people are, like, swabbing the inside of their cup and it's coming back as positive for lead.
Yes.
I think that's kind of bullshit.
Well, I mean, I think just to be on the safe side, we should get a lead test.
I think if we're concerned about it, we should get a different cup. But when I researched it, I discovered that almost everything that's vacuum sealed like that has that, like, double layer insulation.
It's a fucking government.
It goes all the way to the top. The fucking government.
They're trying to get us.
But there are some that don't.
Right.
So,
do we buy another $35 cup that has no lead, but then down the road find out that the plastic in it is going to cause cancer? Or do we just still say, fuck it, let's do the Stanley
Cup? You only
cup.
Live once.
You only live once. Everybody's got some lead in them anyway.
Is that true? I don't think that's true.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure we have, like, some vestiges of it.
Vestiges?
I'm using big
vestigial
words.
Vestigial lead?
Vestigial lead, yes.
Like a vestigial tail?
I'm trying to use some... big words today.
Today we're recording at my house, and so my cat Earl is here. If you hear him, that is what's happening. He's sitting right by the laptop right now.
Yes, he is.
Okay, well, I guess I would love to hear what other people who have gotten on the Stanley bandwagon and bought a cup are feeling about this.
I think it's
going
to be, you're just going to be hearing from me.
True.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe we have a favorite listener.
Maybe. I mean, like, the Hydro Flask that I used to use was probably sealed the exact same way. And yeah. I didn't know about it, and so I didn't care.
Right. I mean, I've been searching for a cup that doesn't taste like metal.
Do you feel like the Stanley Cup doesn't taste like metal?
It does. Yeah, no, it doesn't. It has a plastic straw, and usually those types of cups, I don't like it because I do taste the metal. Mm. But maybe because I don't, maybe there is no lead.
Do you think on the other cups that you could taste metal, you were tasting lead?
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
It's all just a mystery.
Well,
we're in the midst of trying to decide where to go with it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Whatever.
Do we want to do TV news?
Do we have? Oh, my God. We have so... We haven't recorded in forever. And there's all this crazy TV news that... Rachel and I have been discussing and watching. Oh my God, I've been watching so much weird crap. It's crazy.
The main piece of TV news that I want to share, which blew my mind the other day when I saw it, and apparently it's not new news. Like, this news came out in April, but I hadn't heard anybody talk about it.
Me either.
Twilight, the movie series, is getting rebooted into a TV series.
Is it on the CW?
I mean, that would fit.
Yeah.
Lionsgate Television is in a Hollywood Reporter article by Leslie Goldberg from April of last year. And it says, Lionsgate Television is in early development on a series that could bring author Stephanie Meyer's book series back to life. Twilight Saga is getting the television treatment. Sinead Daly, whose credits include Tell Me Lies, The Walking Dead, World Beyond, Raised by Wolves, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, and The Get Down, is attached to write the script for Twilight, the TV show.
Crazy.
And they're working with Lionsgate TV to determine what the specific take on Twilight will be, and if it will be a remake of the books and movies, or a different offshoot. So that article came out, and then I've been seeing some, like, fan recasts of the show, of the characters.
Like fans saying what they want, who they want cast as it?
This article came out just yesterday. It says, a currently release date unknown. It feels like people just discovered this Hollywood Reporter article last week, even though it's been out for a year. So do you have any fan casts of who you think should play the television version of...
Oh, God.
Bella Swan, previously played by Kristen Stewart.
Who? I mean, I'm not really up on... I mean, I know faces, I don't know names, so I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Well, this Screen Rant article thinks that Lana Condor would be a good recast. And Lana Condor was in To All the Boys I Loved Before.
I mean, it'd be a totally... I mean, Kristen Stewart was, like, very... She wasn't... I mean, she was very deadpan.
Flat
affect, yeah. Very. This Lana Condor would be, like, bubbly and...
Yeah.
What a freaking change that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big change.
I mean, I think when you read the books, I just felt like there was... Look, I love the Twilight movies. I think Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart did a great job in a ridiculous role. I think they're so campy. I think they're so fun.
Yeah.
But they made some choices about how to portray those characters that are not necessarily, like, exactly aligned with the book. Like, the angst. Oh, my God. Oh, the angst. Gosh.
It was, like, ridiculous.
So, yeah, I think there's some opportunity to have some really, like, a good time recasting these characters.
Yeah, it would be a whole different look of the... story.
The fun thing that I saw,
I think,
in this Screen Rant article was Penn Badgley as Carlisle. Penn Badgley, who's in the show You and was previously on Gossip Girl.
Yeah, he could be interesting.
That would be really funny because I think he would also just, like, get the camp of it.
Yeah.
Which would be funny. So anyway.
Who did they save for Robert Pattinson?
A guy I don't know. Oh. They, like you, I don't really know a lot of, like, the younger.
No, me either. I mean, yes, me too.
Milo Manheim has some experience with the supernatural. He got his start in the Disney Channel Zombies franchise playing a zombie before moving on to Paramount Plus's School Spirits and starring as a ghost.
Oh, I've been seeing that on TV.
I just School read an Spirits. Article that was like, oh no, I sent you a TikTok. No, it was an Instagram. Of, because I'm not on TikTok. of this woman saying the most underrated shows of the year.
School Spirits was one of them. I've seen. I didn't think it was on Paramount, though. It was on something else.
Well, Screen Rant says that it's on Paramount Plus.
Oh. Huh. Do I have Paramount Plus? I got so many weird shit little app thingies that shoot across my screen.
Weird shit little app thingies?
I think I need to, like downsize it or something. I mean, what does everybody do for...
Oh, it's on Netflix.
That's where I saw it, Netflix.
Yeah, I just checked. See, I was correct. Watch the first season of School Spirits on Netflix. So you did see it.
Yeah, well...
Was it good?
I didn't watch it. I just saw the ad for it on Netflix that it's available to watch.
I see.
I just feel like I have too many things on my TV.
Yeah, you definitely do.
And I don't even know if I'm paying for half of them.
No, you're not.
But,
well, I mean, you might be.
I don't think I am.
Have you seen, this is so funny because I get this ad all the time on podcasts, Rocket Money?
Yeah, where you can go through and they'll check to see what you're paying for and what you're not paying for. But I pretty religiously look at my bank account.
Yeah, so you know, you would know.
I would know.
It always blows my mind when people are like, you're paying for all this and you didn't know. I'm like, how did you not know?
No, I know. I don't hook things up to a credit card or something. It's always to my...
But even if you did, you'd look at your credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think people like that are either really, really, really bad with money and super in denial and never look at their bank account because they're scared.
Yeah, maybe.
Or they're very wealthy.
True. I mean, yeah. I just feel like Wi-Fi is expensive. Mm. Do you really have to pay that much for Wi-Fi? Can't you steal it?
No.
Okay.
Not if you want to have I know your Wi-Fi sucks, but.
Well, now that we did the thing with the TV, it's fine.
Oh, so we fixed it.
So I think we fixed the downstairs problem with the TV.
Mom has a TCL TV, Roku TV.
Yeah, I don't know.
And, it was stopping after 5 minutes of the show starting. It would just freeze.
And lose its Wi-Fi.
She was freaking out about it.
I was mad.
And she called me complaining and I was like, I don't know how to fix your TV. It's either your TV is old or your Wi-Fi is old. But she kept asking me over and over again how to fix it while I was on the phone with her. And
I said, can't you just look it up and find out what the fuck is going on?
Uh-huh. So I went on Reddit and I Googled on Reddit. No, I searched on Reddit.
Yeah.
And, there was a little fix for it where you go in and you turn off quick play in your settings.
Yeah.
And it worked.
It's been fine. It's like my blood pressure level on my lower floor of my condo has lowered.
Good for you.
Thank you very much.
I'm happy for you.
I'm happy for me too. But why do I pay $130 for Wi-Fi?
That is a lot.
What the hell is that about?
I paid.
Why is it so much?
Half that.
How come mine's so much?
I don't know.
Who do you have?
Xfinity.
I have Xfinity.
Yeah, I know.
They're sucking me dry, man.
Let's look at it next time we look at your bill.
Okay, deal.
If we got your TV to work, what have you been watching?
Oh, well, so here's the thing. There's, because of the actor's strike, or whatever it was, the writer's strike / actor's strike, no new shows came on, which is fine. I mean, I can handle, I'm not like a TV-aholic.
Sure.
Not really. Well, it's winter. Sometimes I are. But anyway, I've been watching some old shows, and I've been watching some new items that just came out. So, am I talking about that now?
I think that was the transition.
Okay, that was the transition.
A smooth transition into talking about what the episode today is
about.
So,
we'll talk about a couple of old things that I was watching. I decided to rewatch The Newsroom.
Okay.
Because I kind of missed that banter from, what's his name? The writer, Taylor, no, not him.
Shoot.
There it is. What's his name?
Oh, come on. He did West Wing, and he did The Newsroom, and he did Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
What's his name?
Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin. I mean, I enjoy his writing immensely. The banter and the whatever. So, and I like Jeff Daniels. He's alive, right? He's not dead. It was the other guy that was dead.
Jeff Daniels is not in The Newsroom.
Who's the guy in The Newsroom?
Oh, it's Jeff Daniels. Sorry.
I like Jeff Daniels.
You said dead, and then I was like, no, that's...
Bill Pullman. Sometimes they're interchangeable.
Bill Paxton is the one that's dead.
Who's Bill Pullman?
Bill Pullman's not dead.
Christ almighty. Bill Pullman is in, the Jessica Biel thing.
Yes. And Independence Day.
Oh, Bill Paxton was in Tornado.
Twister.
Okay.
And Aliens.
Bill Paxton was an alien? Oh, yes, he was. Yes. The first one. Check.
Is it the first one or the second one?
I don't know.
I think it's the second one. I think it's Aliens.
Whatever. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So I've been watching The Newsroom. There's only three seasons, maybe four. And I enjoy Olivia Munn in it, and I just like the storyline. But anyway, I stalled out on it because I got kind of depressed that it was going to end, so I stopped watching it.
You know, that's the thing. I think we knew it was going to be canceled. I never finished that show.
I don't think.
It had 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And I think it ended on a cliffhanger.
I'm on the 3rd season, and I think they're going to lose the station or something. And no spoiler. Well, it is a spoiler.
Like, Jeff Daniels ends up in prison.
Yes. Well, for not revealing his source. Right. So that happens. That's he marries season. His producer. But then I think Emily the Mortimer. Dude with the black silvery hair that was in Law and Order.
Yeah.
Dies.
Well, and he actually died. Yeah. Sam Watterson.
Yeah. So I got kind of sad about that, thinking about that. So I was like, you know, I think I'm going to move on to something else.
Okay, this is Rachel from the future, just popping in for a second to say, yeah, Sam Watterson isn't dead. I was wrong about that. My mom didn't correct me. We meant Jerry Orbach. I was getting the Law and Order guys confused. Sam Watterson, alive and well. Sorry, Sam. Okay, back to the episode.
I might go back to it. It's in my...
it's a great show. Where can you watch it?
HBO? HBO Max. Yes.
Yeah.
So, also in HBO Max, when I was perusing different...
Wait. Before you move on, let's say the Rotten Tomatoes for a...
Oh, the Rotten Tomatoes. They're going to get some good ones.
For Newsroom.
Yeah, because it was a really enjoyable show, except it left us in a hangar.
Yeah, why did it get canceled, do you think?
Because that dude died. I don't know. Maybe Aaron Sorkin decided to move on to something else.
Yeah.
Or people got... I don't know. The ratings, I would think, would have been good on it.
Yeah, I would have thought so, too. Critical consensus of the first season was 48%.
That's nuts. It was so good.
Though it sports good intentions and benefits from moments of stellar dialogue and a talented cast, The Newsroom may feel too preachy, self-satisfied, and cynical to appeal to a wide range of viewers. Maybe. I think in the year it came out, in 2012, I think people were not in that sort of cynical space as much. Like, if it had come out in 2016...
It would have been fine, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second season... Didn't even get a critical consensus, but audience consensus is in the high 90s for each seasons of the show. So,
it's a good show to rewatch until you get tired of watching it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was still on my HBO Max kick, I turned my head and lo and behold, there's a show called Bitten.
Okay. This sounds like we're taking a sharp left turn from The Newsroom. And Aaron Sorkin and Jeff Daniels to Bitten,
which werewolves.
Anybody we know in that show?
God, I don't think so. I thought the father guy was in Twilight, but I think I got them confused. I don't think he's Twilight.
Doesn't look it from the cast.
But anyway, it's a dumb show. It's a sexy werewolf show.
Elena navigates her life between the human world and the werewolf world as the only female of the species.
She was the only female to survive being bitten.
Wait, does that mean like all the wolves want to get with her?
Well, all the wolves want her on their side because there's different packs of wolves. Mm-hmm. And her pack that she's in, her boyfriend, fiance at the time, bit her by mistake somehow. I don't know how it happened. He was a wolf. He bit her. I don't think it was during sex. But anyway, so then she got upset. She lived through the thing. She was talked through by the lead guy, talked through her transition. She made it through the thing because she's so strong and pretty. She's very pretty. But anyway, she's mad. She's not fiancéed to the dude anymore, and she left the pack and went to live in, I don't know, Vancouver. So, you know, she's off there living her life. She wants to marry this other dude, but then gets called back into the pack. Because somebody is threatening the pack. Mutts. They're called mutts. They're not werewolves. They are mutts.
Sure.
The bad guys.
Got it. Do you think they were trying to do like a True Blood thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Because it just like the images from the show looks very True Bloody.
Yeah. And it's funny that, I mean, it's something stupid to put on when you don't have anything else to watch.
It's a sci-fi channel show. Originally.
Yeah.
We love the old sci-fi shows.
We do. And it's like, you know, there's sexy time. They do have werewolf sex.
It says, though it attempts to bring in a broader audience than your average sci-fi fare, Bitten is ultimately another cliched, cheesy soap.
Pretty much, yes. But, and they're not werewolves. They turn into wolves.
Okay.
Well, are those werewolves? I kind of picture Michael J. Fox as werewolf. Like Teen Wolf.
Like he's wearing a mask with gloves.
Have you ever seen Michael J. Fox in Teen Wolf? Yeah. He doesn't turn into a wolf. He's like, walking around in his jacket right. with his claws.
Yeah, I see.
These guys don't. They have to take off their clothes before they transform.
Guessing the
two.
Tomatoes should go into the two. Can I tell you? I just told you that the first season of the Newsroom, the Aaron Sorkin HBO drama,
46
got a 48. Bitten got a 50.
My mind is just, my TV viewing is kind of low right now.
Audience score is 75% for Bitten.
Yeah, you know.
Which is lower than Aaron Sorkin.
It's kind of funny. You know, they opened up boxes of lye balls in it, or somebody's gotten their finger cut off, or.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's pretty. One guy got his wahoo.
Wahoo. And you just made this. Like,
well, they had this, like, clippers. They had, like, these clippers.
Yikes.
And he was sitting in one of those chairs, like, Tom Cruise sat in for one Mission Impossible, where they were whacking him out.
That was
his,
a Daniel Craig Mission Impossible.
Oh, Daniel Craig? Not Mission Impossible.
We're talking about James Bond. That was Daniel Craig in James Bond.
Right. He was getting his winkle whacked.
You guys can see the hand movements that she makes when she says these things.
So anyway, this guy was torturing one of the mutts. Naked, the guy was naked, but he was all crunched up in a chair like his ding dong was hanging down. And he just whoosh.
Yikes. That's yeah. awful.
Yeah.
I can't believe that was on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Well, they only showed him coming at him with the
right, sure.
nut cruncher. Yikes. But then the next scene you saw, he was laying on the side. Still strapped to the chair, and I think he was passed out. He might have been dead.
This is giving me the heebs. Heebie-jeebies.
Anyway, so I was watching that, but then I have uplifted myself out of the weirdness and moved on to, also on HBO Max, True Detective.
There we go. That's what I thought we were going to be talking about today. Yeah. True Detective's new season.
That was rough.
We got there, though.
Jodie Foster is the lead, mm-hmm. and I don't know the name of the lady who plays her partner, but she is fabulous. I think she's like a wrestler for real.
Oh, Callie Reyes. Oh, yeah. that's the actor's name. Callie Reyes. Her character is Evangeline Navarro.
Is she like an MMA fighter or a?
She's an actress and writer known for The Catch, The Fair One, True Detective, and Wind River Rising. She's married to Brian Cohen. It doesn't say. Although, in her little reel here for, it must be a movie that she's in. She played a fighter.
I think
I'll look her up.
Yeah. She's really good. I don't think she's been in a lot of stuff.
Didn't sound it.
But
American professional boxer.
Yeah, boxer.
Okay. Former world champion in two weight classes, having held the WBC female middleweight title in 2016 and the WBA and WBO and IBO female light welterweight titles between 2020 and 2022.
Wow. Well, she is really good, and it takes place in Alaska,
uh-huh.
where there's, I don't know, how many nights of, days of nights, how many nights of night, how many days of night, is that what I want to say?
A day where, like, the sun doesn't rise.
Yeah, it's all dark.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, do you want to, you don't want to know.
No, well, okay, I think, let's talk about the show a little bit without talking about what it's about, and then we'll give people a heads up if we're going to be doing spoilers.
All right. So the first True Detective was with who? Matthew McConaughey and was it like a famous guy?
Yeah.
Was it Woody Harrelson?
Yeah.
I don't remember what their thing was.
That was such a good season of television.
I watched that one. Wasn't there like a bunch of murders, like women being murdered?
So the concept, and I think they do this in each season, although I didn't watch the second one. I did watch the third season of True Detective. It's sort of like you're in the present or the future or whatever, and you're mm-hmm. learning about something that's going on, and then we flash back to a story in the past.
Yeah.
It's the relationship between the detectives
right.
in the present and in the past.
Right.
And they've, you know, there's a crime that happened that they're, like, solving, like, finally solving in the future.
Right.
So in the first season of True Detective with Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, they were like paired up together as partners.
Right.
In like, I don't know where it's supposed to be set, maybe like the 80s. And then they're trying to solve a murder and you don't know what happened, but somebody got away, but you don't know how, like something went wrong and now they don't talk to each other anymore.
Right.
And Matthew McConaughey in the future is like basically falling apart.
Right. But doesn't a murder happen again?
Yes.
And they're drawn back into it because it's the same
yes,
thing. And there's like, wasn't there like pagan rituals or something?
Yeah, there's a cult.
Yeah. I watched that one.
Such a good season.
Yeah.
But so cool.
I don't remember who was in the second one.
I still will say time is a flat circle when I'm like, when I'm like struggling with something and I'm trying to explain when something happened at work or like,
yeah,
trying to remember the date of something that I'm telling somebody. I'm like, whatever, time is a flat circle. And I'm quoting first season of True Detective when I do that.
I don't know who was in the second season. Did I watch?
The second season was sort of panned as not being great, which I felt bad for because it's got... It was Colin Farrell and Rachel McAdams and Taylor Kitsch.
I don't think I saw that one.
And Vince Vaughn and Kelly Riley. So Kelly Riley is now in... what's that show that we love?
Don't know.
It's got Kevin Costner in it.
Yellowstone.
She's...
The daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So she was in the second season. And Taylor Kitsch, this poor guy. Do you, if I show you his face, you'll know
who I know who he is. He's in Chicago.
Oh, is he on TV?
No, that's not him.
I was going to be so happy for a second for him because he was like not a bad actor and he kept getting cast in these like big action things that, you know what he was most recently?
Was he the bad guy?
I don't know. He was one of the detectives. He was just in the Waco show. He was kind of like...
About the Branch Davidian?
Yeah.
Oh.
People thought he was going to be this, like, big new action star in the stuff that he was in.
And then he's not.
And then he got cast in this movie for Disney that, like, absolutely bombed. Oh. John Carter.
Oh, yeah. John Carter.
And his career sort of disappeared.
I didn't even watch John Carter. It was that bad.
And it was a bummer. And anyway, he was in the second season of True Detective, which also bombed. So,
yeah. You know, And then there was a third season. That's one with...
That one was great.
With... I didn't
Mahershala.
See Mahershala, yeah. I didn't see that one either, but I remember the advertisements. I never went to it for some reason.
Yeah, Mahershala Ali and Stephen Dorff was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was also, that was good. I thought that was a good season.
I might have to go back and watch that one.
That one was the disappearance of a young brother and sister leads to a frantic search, which will haunt one detective for the rest of his life.
Oh, God. Well, this show is going to haunt me for a little while.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're going to probably end up saying some spoilers for the current season, which is not, it's only... Three episodes are out right now.
Right. So or four. Three?
Three have come out so far.
Okay.
So we're not going to be spoiling anything about the end of the show, but we are going to talk about the first three episodes.
I mean, there's not... You can say... I can say some stuff... You haven't watched it.
No, but so, I want you to tell
I mean, folks what you think. Jodie Foster plays the chief of police, I think it is, in this Alaskan town, and they're in the midst of their night... time, however long it lasts for. There's this state, this scientific outpost. I can't pronounce the name of it, but it's a bunch of scientists out there doing tests on the ice and a bunch of others. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but it starts off with them in the place, and there's a bunch of, there's like seven of them, I think it is, and they're all, you know, youngish, 30s, 40s, whatever. And all of a sudden, something happens one night. One guy on the first episode turns to his one of the other scientists, and his back is to him. And the scientist is just, like, shaking, like, vibrating. And then the next thing you see is a delivery person pulling up to the station. What?
Shaking. Do you mean, like, scared?
He was just blah, like
oh,
that.
Oh, like he was having a seizure?
It looked like that.
Okay.
But you didn't see his frontal. You just saw his back.
Okay, okay.
And then it just stopped.
Okay.
I mean, this is three episodes ago.
That's fine.
It might be kind of fuzzy.
That's good. I'm happy.
So the delivery person pulls up, and he's delivering stuff for vending machines and whatever. And he's like, hello, hello. And you don't see anybody. So he, and I think there's some weird, like, out of the corner of his eye, we see, it looks like somebody running fast past.
Ooh, I hate that.
Yeah, me too. But you don't, he just kind of looks like it's in his peripheral.
Sure.
So he calls the cops, and they come to the station, and they start, it's Jodie Foster, another young guy, and another, I think another detective or whatever, not the... fighter lady yet, and they're checking out the station, going through each room. There's no sign of any of the scientists, but on the floor under one of the tables is a tongue.
Ew. Yeah. Like how much of a tongue?
Like all of it.
You know, can I tangent talk about a tongue for a second?
Yeah, it's gross.
So you know when, like, you probably have never
I'm sure you've seen them. Like, and you can buy a beef tongue. Like,
I've seen them in the meat department.
And it's like, it goes all the way back.
It's like all the way back. I mean, this was only like this part in the mouth. Okay. It wasn't the back part.
It wasn't the like big chunky part.
No, it was like somebody yanked the tongue out and clipped it with scissors.
Okay. All right.
So Jodie Foster is, I don't think anybody likes her. She's kind of rough and gruff. And she, they, so they're looking around at stuff, and then she goes, okay, well, let's look at this tongue. And she takes tongs or whatever, and she picks it up.
Tongs.
And they're tongs for the tug, and they put it in a bag to go get tested. So yeah, anyway.
Whose tongue it is.
Yeah, whose tongue is it? So then there's the lady, so they're like, they're trying to find these guys. They don't know where the fuck they are.
The dead people.
Yeah, and there's the lady from Harry Potter.
Which one?
The mother. No, yeah, the mother. No, not her. Who was it? She was in Killing Eve.
Oh, yeah, Aunt Petunia.
Yes, it was Aunt Petunia. She's out on the ice.
Is she a detective?
No. Okay. She's just a lady living in Alaska. And and I don't know.
Fiona Shaw.
My brain is kind of fuzzy about the circumstances, but anyway, this is a gist. She's out on the outside her house, and she sees a guy standing there. And she's like, she says his name, you know, what do you want or something? And he just kind of turns around and walks away. So she follows him.
In the, like, tundra.
In the tundra. Dead.
I don't think you call the Alaska. I don't think it's
tundra, cold.
You know what I'm saying?
There's snow. It's cold. It's windy. It's dark. It's creepy. It's creepy. It's a fucking tundra. So, yeah, just like that. Oh, wait a minute. We haven't gotten that part yet.
I just saw a picture on IMDb. Yeah.
So they get, they're walking out into the middle. I mean, she's following him.
Do you think you'd do that?
No. What the hell?
But like, okay, imagine this scenario. You're in the wilderness.
It turns out to be your dead husband.
She's having a vision?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, but like, imagine this scenario where you're living in the wilderness. You're choosing to live in Alaska, which means you're tough enough to live in Alaska, right?
Absolutely.
And somebody is walking around outside your house, not in inclement weather, clearly.
No coat on. I don't think he had a coat on.
Potentially someone lost or confused or in this early season.
Would you get out to talk to them? No.
Really? You still wouldn't?
Would you?
Yeah. Well, like,
No.
This could be somebody that's dying.
No, don't care. The next thing you know, he's eating you for breakfast. I mean, no.
Okay. So she was hallucinating.
I guess. Maybe not. Maybe she sees ghosts.
Oh, okay.
Maybe she sees dead people.
That doesn't seem in line with what previously has happened on True Detective. Like, it's not a supernatural show. I mean, there's supernatural aspects in, like, but it's always just that people are more
they might be, yeah, they might be hallucinating. So anyway, she follows him out, and he keeps pointing. And she hears weird things, and then all of a sudden she's calling the cops. I found your guys.
She found them.
Well,
is that the image I found?
Yes.
Okay.
So they're all naked.
Yeah.
And they're all in weird positions on top of each other, like all like scared. One guy looks like he clawed out his eyeballs. They're all just like in these weird, you know, frozen, how you would picture people, you know, being frozen. And they all look scared. So
Jesus.
They call, Jodie Foster goes out to see it with her group of people. And she has to, like, do a perimeter and, you know, make sure you don't, let's, whatever. And she gets up close. She's, like, up close looking at it. And all of a sudden, one of them goes, whoa!
He's not dead?
Not dead. He starts, his mouth is really wide and he starts screaming.
That's
and you see
so fucked up.
Jodie Foster, like, whoop, steps back.
Oh, my God. Jump scare.
Jump scare. So she, he gets, you know, broken apart from the other guys, rushed to the hospital.
Does he live?
Do you don't want to know?
Okay, fine.
So anyway, they've got to take. So then the feds come in because the feds want to take over, and
because
she's,
it's a research site,
right? And they and Jodie Foster's like, no, this is my case. Blah blah blah. We have to. You can't take them down anyway because they're going to thaw. If you take them, they're going to thaw. You're going to lose evidence. So she takes them to the whole. They like cut them out of the big block of them out of the ice or snow. Put him on a truck, covered it with a tarp, and took him to this hockey rink. And stick him in the hockey rink.
Wow.
Well, yeah. And she's not loved by anybody. So it's like asking. Yeah.
It just is. Do we flash back at any point? Like, in,
once the lady comes in.
Fiona Shaw.
No, the other one.
Kelly Reese.
The fighter.
Yeah.
When she comes.
Kelly Reese.
She used to be Jodie Foster's partner.
Okay.
But something happened where they split apart.
I see.
They had a fight or something. And now she works for a different, I don't know who she works for, but maybe she works for the state cops and Jodie Foster works for the town cops.
Okay.
But then there's also like another section of cops that, I don't know what they are. There's three different factions.
Could it be like indigenous people?
It might be. I can't. Maybe. I don't know. That whole part confused me. I was too scared. So anyway, she comes in and she's like, well, they find out who the tongue belongs to.
Is it one of the guys?
No. Oh. There's a woman that had been murdered a few years before.
It's her tongue?
It's her tongue.
Oh, wow.
So
maybe the woman who was murdered a few years before, something to do with Jodie and MMA fighters.
Boxers. Something happened with their... Well, they're just getting into what happened with them, and it's just... There's teaser. There's like one little teaser that I don't think they've really delved into exactly what happened yet.
Okay.
But I think one of them killed somebody. But anyway, Kaylee is really wants to find out what happened to this girl. But anyway, she goes to Jodie Foster and she goes, I think this is related and blah, blah, blah. And you found her. And then Jodie tells her, you know, we found her tongue. And they just decide to, now they're going to, Jodie Foster has asked for her to come and work with her and her other little younger partner to solve the murderers.
Well, interesting. So do you think it's a good show? Do you think it's a good, you know, new season of the show?
It's very good. I don't watch it with the lights off.
It's scary.
Last week's episode scared the piss out of me.
The first season was scary. Like, it was like horror adjacent.
Yeah. I mean, this one, what happened in last week's episode with the guy they had carted off to the thing.
This sounds pretty horror adjacent, too.
Do you want me to tell you?
Okay.
He sat up in bed. Like, he doesn't have any arms or legs, so they had to amputate him.
Oh, no.
What would you say?
An amputee? He's an amputee. A quadruple amputee? Jesus.
It's scary. Sorry. Yeah, he sits up and his mouth is just wide open and this voice is saying, she's here, she's coming, he keeps saying, she's coming.
Wow.
And it's just like, I don't know if it's hallucinating or if it really happened. It's like very spooky.
So what do you think the Rotten Tomato score is for this season?
90.
93.
Yeah, it's up there. It really says, good.
Frighteningly atmospheric and anchored by Jodie Foster and Kaylee Reese's superb performances, Night Country is a fresh and frosty variation on True Detective's existential themes. But the audience score is only 67%. And so the first three reviews are all men. So let's keep that in mind because it's the first True Detective where the two detectives are women.
Yeah.
The mildly interesting plot gets overshadowed by all the various backstories and unnecessary developments of unlikable characters. There is no one to root for because everyone in the show is so unlikable. Okay, have you watched any of the other seasons?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they are. An An incompetently written slog of wooden performances with the True Detective label slapped on as a decoy. At least season two was interesting.
This is interesting.
He liked the Vince Vaughn season, so we can't trust them.
No.
And then the third guy actually says, pretty solid so far. Nice amount of intrigue on impending doom.
It feels like there is some sort of doom and gloom that's a-coming. And they keep walking, like, the Kelly girl keeps walking. They're, like, searching they find out that one of the scientists is still alive somewhere. Not the one in the hospital, but another one. And they're trying to find him, so there's search parties that go out to see if he's, like, wandering in the tundra or the ice or whatever the hell it is. And she goes off by herself, and she's, like, searching. She has a headlamp on, and she's, like, pitch fucking dark out with, I mean, where's the polar bears? I mean, do they live there? I just don't even know. And she's, like, walking through, and she pulls out an orange from her pocket that she had picked up from somewhere, and she just pitched it out onto the snow.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it comes flying back at her and lands at her feet.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you're like, why are you out? I mean, I know you have a gun, but why are you out there by yourself?
Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it.
It's spooky.
It sounds fun to me. Yeah, so there's people saying that it was overhyped, saying that it was going to be like season one, and it's not.
I think it's very good.
But other people are saying that they're really enjoying it. And this one reviewer says, I'm really enjoying the connections and Easter eggs to season one. And they did that. Season three had connections back to, like, there were, like, names, you know, characters.
I don't know if I remember who was, what it was.
Yeah, well, I'm going to look forward to watching it.
It's very good.
Okay.
It's one of those things where you have to wait for it to come out, which is fine.
All right, Mom, we are 43 minutes in. Do you have something else you want to share?
About TV that I'm watching?
No, you have some bit that you want to do.
You know, I don't think it's a bit.
I mean, I don't think a bit is the wrong word for what
I think
a segment.
It used to be
a word of wisdom.
Now it's just a word.
Okay.
So the word for today, Rachel, is, hold on. The word for today is flibbertigibbet. What does it mean?
Flibbertigibbet?
Yeah. Is it the study of insects, a talkative person, the fear of snakes, or a large cooking pot?
Interesting. I think it's a talkative person. You know why I know this word?
No.
It's a line in...
Because you are one?
It's in The Sound of Music. Well, you don't have a problem like Maria, because she goes, oh, well, if a wisp is a flibbertigibbet.
She says flibbertigibbet?
I'm almost like 85% sure. I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
What's it mean?
I don't know. Hold on. It's answering. We chose a talkative person. It means a talkative person. Some people picked a large cooking pot. 6.4% picked a large cooking pot. They're dumb. Another person, 2%, picked the fear of snakes, and 3% picked the study of insects.
Yeah. How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down? How do you find a word that means Maria? A flibbertigibbet, a will-o'-wisp, a clown. That's why I knew it.
Which means to babble or gossip. It first appeared in Shakespeare's King Lear play in 1605.
He was all inventing all kinds of words all the time.
Example, the party was full of flibbertigibbets who couldn't stop talking and laughing.
I think that's you and I. We're both a couple of flibbertigibbets.
Today we were, but, you know.
It was a pretty long episode. I think we definitely were.
It was fun.
All right. Well, we'll record again sometime. Actually, you know what? The last time we recorded, I don't think I ever edited and posted the episode. So there's two episodes.
Are you kidding me?
In the hopper here.
You should teach me how to do this. I don't think I could.
I think you could.
I don't like to listen to myself.
Okay, yeah, so you probably couldn't. Yeah. All right, everybody. We will talk to you when we talk to you next.
We have a shout out for everyone who actually listens to this podcast.
Yeah, fuck it. We won't put that in the credits. We'll just do it now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Re-race. Right. Rewind.
Just say goodbye to everybody, Mom.
See ya. I forgot how it was done. It's been so long. TV with my mom.
She's not your mom. She's my mom. Thanks once again for listening to our podcast. If you can continue with my mom, you can, you know, catch us when we post stuff. You can't really follow us anywhere.
Call us up if you want.
Yeah,
you know
our numbers.
Send us an email. Call us up.
They don't have our phone numbers. But
next time you see us, let me know what you need.
The email is tvwithmymom@tv.com. No.
No. gmail.com. Do you even check it?
Who's our shout out? Everybody who's listening?
Yeah, well, shout out to everybody who likes to listen to us ramble or be flibberty gibbets.
And I do check it, just not all that often.
And to John Dodson for a beautiful intro.
Thank you, John.
What is it? The test of time.
Stood
the test of time.
And to Diane for your album cover.
Yeah, that too. Have a good winter day.
Bye, everybody. You just hit the record button again. Mom, I went to go save this episode after we were done recording and discovered that this is our 100th episode.
Bing, 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 bing. Woo, rockets going off.
No, stop it.
Fireworks.
That was a really weird...
I meant like fireworks, but it looked like jacking off. It wasn't. It was fireworks. Splurping out.
Okay, happy 100th episode, everybody.
Happy 100th episode. Have a shot of chartreuse today.
We
should have shouted out David, Mr. Groundhog himself. Happy birthday, up in heaven.
All right, we'll call it then. Bye, everybody. Sporping.
Sporping?